Hi, it's Georgia, co-host of the Artpsis podcast, a series by Bosler Arts, bringing together artists, activists, social change makers from all over the world to talk about their life and work. And I'm so excited to kick off season 8 with this conversation with Steve and Dione from Jail Time Records. They're doing such incredible work, and it's been a real dream of mine to have them on. So it's an absolute delight. I loved talking to them and hearing about the incredible work they're doing in prison in Cameroon and beyond. I'm not going to say much more, I'm just going to let you enjoy it. But the last note from me will be that if you're listening to this and you want to be watching it, you can do so on Spotify and also YouTube at Artpsists. Enjoy! Hello and welcome back to the Artpsis podcast. My name's Georgia and I'm really excited for our conversation today with Dione and Steve from Jail Time Records. Hello and welcome.
Hello.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi.
How are you both feeling today? How are you doing?
Good.
You're in London.
So good.
Yeah? You're in London for a short time. Have you been enjoying your stay?
Yeah, a lot. Like, yeah.
Yeah, been it's around. Good.
It's
yeah,
really good. It's my first time in the city. Like,
yeah, true.
Yeah.
What's your impression of it? Do you like it?
Yeah, I do enjoy it. Since I like New York, I'm seeing a lot of similarities between London and New York.
Yeah.
London is great, like multicultural.
Yeah.
Yeah. Different culture. Yeah. Amazing. It's really vibrant.
It is. It really is. Tiring, but vibrant.
Yeah.
And could you start by each telling me just a little bit about yourselves? Maybe Steve, you can start.
Yeah, I'm Steve Appy, born and raised in Cameroon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a music producer, sound engineer, and now filmmaker, courtesy of Journey. Yeah, I'm the co-founder of Jail Time Records.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Dione?
And I'm a painter, a visual artist, and filmmaker. And I grew up in Italy, but I'm half Australian. And I've been living in Cameroon since 2017, where we co-founded Jail Time Records.
Amazing. And we're going to talk a lot about Jail Time Records today because it's obviously an incredible, incredible organization and project that you do together. But maybe you could start by telling me how the two of you met.
Who wants to share the story?
Either of you.
I think like
you should.
She share it better, like that's the reality. Yeah.
Okay. So we met in 2018, and I'd been living in Douala for almost 1 year, and I went there to teach photography and video in an art school as part of a kind of youth program for Italians. And I was working with an NGO, and they also had a program inside the prison of New Bell in Douala. And during that time, I volunteered doing painting courses and also organizing some dance events in the prison. And during one of these dance events, I came across a group of musicians, and I was really impressed. And I kept, I started going to their rehearsals, and they were really amazing, so I decided to do a project with them. I proposed to do an album, and then I thought, okay, why not actually have something permanent and do a recording studio inside the prison so it can keep being used and create something. And the NGO put a little bit of money, the prison accepted the project, they really liked it. The person in charge was a music lover. And so we did this recording studio, and that's when I met Steve, because I actually still hadn't thought about the fact that someone had to run it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, like random, luckily, or by God's grace, there was a music producer and sound engineer in prison. That was me.
That was you.
I was in jail at that time, and I have this friend, he passed away. He told me, do you ever met like the young Italian lady? Like, she's building a recording studio in prison. I said, like, yeah, I heard about it because my brother was part of the rehearsal she was doing, my little brother.
Oh.
I was in prison with three of my brothers due for a family affair. So I already heard about like her, the rehearsal. But I wasn't too interested, you know. Yeah, I was more in my own, more trying to know what's going on in the prison, how those guys find themselves there, what's, so I was all over the prison with my phone recording the stories of the guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I was in another ends of the prison, so we didn't have the chance to really meet two at the same time.
Yeah.
And that's how, like, during that day, my friend told me, like, I think she's going to be here today. And I want you, like, to be connected. Like, yeah. See, he knew I was a music producer and sound engineer since before prison.
Yeah.
So I went back to my cell. 10 minutes after that, he just went, ran and knocked to my cell and told me, ah, she's there. She wants to meet you and stuff. And that's the day I met Johnny. Johnny was leaving like 1 day or 2 days after that.
Wow.
And she's like, I heard about you. Your friend told me you're a music producer, sound engineer. And she told me that's the key of the studio.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and she left and like 40 days, 40 nights with the guys. We started making music, recording. I have to admit, entering the studio that moment was the end of my prison.
Really?
Yeah. I felt freedom. I wasn't thinking about like going out anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a safe space. Yeah, I can say it. It was really a safe space.
Yeah.
It was 40 days, 40 nights in the studio. Wow. Like no time. You know, there's one thing about prison beyond bars is you against the time. Yeah. And your thoughts.
Yeah.
You think a lot. You always watching the time, your clock.
Yeah.
Anymore, like you was just recording music, listening to others, knowing each others.
Yeah.
It was just like we discover freedom through music, and that's moment I just discover the other side of music as an instrument of resistance, change.
Yeah.
Resilience, because before that it was all about like we all want to be music producer because you want to be famous, you want like to produce big artists.
Yeah.
But now like that period just changed my life. Now like the way I'm seeing music is just so different, like music for social change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's such an amazing story, and I definitely, part of the work that we do at Bosler Arts is really this, like the core belief that art can change, like change the world, and that it can reach people in ways that, you know, speaking even can't. It's this thing that it drives such amazing creativity and gives a voice to people, but also allows us to learn about the experience of others. So that's so cool, and what an amazing story. And maybe Steve, you could tell us, like, maybe just set the scene a little bit about what it's actually like inside the prison, and yeah, what it was like before the studio was set up.
Yeah, before the studio was set up, my daily journey was more about going around the prison, trying to know people, trying to know crimes. Like, that's the reality.
Yeah.
I was so fascinated about, like, how that world. For me, I took my time in prison like an opportunity to know more about that world.
Yeah.
So I was going around, meeting friends, trying to meet more people, knowing their story. And at night, I remember in the end of the prison where I was staying, we have this group of, we was having fun at night, having this freestyle session. I was recording them through my phone too. Emperor, DOX, Garcia, like, bunch of artists. Now I'm part of the project to J-Time Records. So that was my daily activities in prison.
Yeah.
Yeah, knowing personal stories, how those young kids ended in prison. And at night we was doing music and freestyling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. And Dione, what was it like for you when, like, going into the prison for the first time? And also, maybe you can talk a bit about, like, how you set up a studio within a prison like that. I don't, like, you know, what was the relationship with the prison guards and that kind of thing?
Yes, so the first time I entered into the prison was actually, I think, the first week I ever, or maybe the second day I was in Douala. The NGO brought us around to see all of the activities, and you know, you get into the, I wasn't really prepared for that kind of environment or experience actually. So you pass through like the controls, and then they opened up this door, and there are these bars, and then there's like thousands of people, and they are all there kind of looking at you, asking stuff, like trying to touch you while you walk through, and then there's just the quantity of people and the energy and the heat as well. It's really hot. Even if it's open air, because you're like in the main court of the prison, as soon as you get in, it's still like a few degrees hotter than outside, and the humidity, the smell. So it's something that's really overwhelming. The smell is very strong. It's like a sensory overload, let's say. So that was my first experience. But at the same time, the energy is very strong. Mm. And I think as a person, probably, and as an artist, I'm always kind of attracted to kind of strong energy somehow, because it has a lot of potential. Mm. Basically that is a lot behind the inspiration, I think, because when I saw the musicians and I saw their potential and the strength they had in their way of expressing themselves, I kind of felt I wanted to serve that energy and that kind of light and see how I could help to get that out.
Mm.
And in terms of like the relationship with the prison administration, I think I just met the person that was in charge at the time was a music lover and was very open. We were kind of friends, we could say, or in friendly terms. And when I proposed the project, actually, he was immediately enthusiastic about it. He's a director of another prison now, but at the time he was a person in charge of the cultural activities, all activities inside prison, actually. So it was actually really easy.
That's so amazing.
Yeah.
You wouldn't necessarily think that it would be easy. I don't know. In my mind, I just imagine that it's so hard to change anything within prison. So that's really cool to hear. And I've obviously seen your, a lot of the music videos that you've done, which are in prison. So it kind of gives me a glimpse of, the sheer number of people in. Do you know how many people are in the prison at the moment?
At the moment, almost 9,000.
9,000, okay.
And they are supposed to be less than 2,000. It's a prison built for 2,000. Yeah.
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 Yeah, that's a lot. A lot. And because obviously we're going to talk about, some of the music that you've produced and released from Jail Time Records. But one of the things that really comes across is how difficult all of these musicians, all the people you feature's lives are, and also the challenges that they're facing within prison. Could you maybe talk about what, once someone is in prison, what the challenges that they face are, if that makes sense?
Sure. The first challenge is eat properly and sleep properly. That's the first challenge, the basics of life, eating properly, sleeping properly, because it's overcrowded.
Yeah.
So we all don't have space. If you don't have a family that can back you up or that can support, it's hell, it's chaos. That's the reality. So the most difficult thing, they have two meals, that's the reality. It's others prison, you only have food once a day. Okay. But that New Bell, particularly that prison of New Bell, they have two times. So, but the reality is still not enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Overcrowded. So people are really, really struggling. Yeah.
Yeah.
To find a place where to sleep.
And how many people are in a sharing a cell normally?
Normally it depends on the cell. You have VIP cell. Okay. And yeah, they have VIP cell there.
Is that if you can pay for it?
Yeah, okay. You have to pay for it. Yeah. To have a proper bed, kind of. It's still small bed, but like kind of cool.
Yeah.
And a television, so.
Wow.
And other cells are really crowded too. It can be like 17 people per cell. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's a really intense.
Yeah, really intense. Really intense.
And Steve, if you want, we can cut this as well, but you were falsely accused, right?
Yeah, in prison.
And I think I heard you say that, like, the rules are that you could spend up to 18 months in prison even if you hadn't been charged with anything. Is that right?
Yeah, it's right.
And that's why you had to spend so much time behind bars.
Exactly. Yeah. Because I was still under investigation.
Okay.
So my judge, he can keep me like under 6 months two times. That means 6 months two times, 18 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the French rule, like okay. French system. Yeah.
Doesn't seem fair at all. But obviously it was this like life-changing moment. And so you start Jail Time Records in 2018, right?
Yeah.
What was it like at the beginning? Like how easy was it to get people in the studio? What was that like? Were people very keen to be part of it? Maybe you can talk a bit about that process.
I think that's more, you were working in the studio.
Yeah, but the reality at the end of the day, Johnny was really started with a group.
Mm.
And we started in our side too. Like, it was easy because in my side, in my end of the prison, I was already working with other guys.
Mm.
So it was more about bringing all the people together. Like,
wasn't easy.
It wasn't easy.
What were the challenges of it?
Yeah, the challenge, like outside, you know, artists, they have a lot of egos.
Yeah.
They want to be the main artist. Mm. So it was already like competition. Yeah. Like outside, maybe the other guys are going to steal our chances, our place.
Yeah.
The project started with us. Now he's bringing the other guys. Mm. So, you know, it was a problem of egos and attention.
Yeah.
But luckily we managed like to balance everything with a program. Mm. Yeah, a daily program, a program of the week.
Yeah.
Yeah, this session maybe in the morning is dedicated to this artist. You have like 4 hours in the studio next, and in the 4 hours you can bring whoever you want.
Mm.
You can do whatever you want. We can discuss like ideas. You can spend your time however you want.
Yeah.
And maybe the afternoon is another artist. Per day was at least two artists, but the reality, I'm a studio rat, so I spend the whole night in the studio.
Yeah.
The whole night, so yeah. During the night, other artists I was working with other guys too.
Yeah.
Yeah, even the artists I prefer, like, you know, as a music producer, you always have, you know, your favorite artist and stuff. So yeah, and that time was a really, really good artist at that time.
Mm.
Like super, like I can say top class artist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. But I think the quality of the music that you produce is really like outstanding as well. It's just amazing. Do you have to nurture people a lot? Like, what is the process of even, like, especially at the beginning? I guess now that Jail Time Records is so established and people can see what you do, maybe people are more willing to like come up. But at the beginning, do you have to kind of like really encourage people to go and like start recording? Is that process quite a lot?
Yeah, it depends. We almost record guys who never been to a studio, never record like to a proper studio, never even thought they was a musician.
Yeah,
the doors were open for everyone. Like I almost record someone, like we record everyone.
Yeah,
I record a prayer of a Muslim guy.
Oh really?
Yeah, I like recording because it's a process of learning for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, people are sharing the personal story.
Mm.
So basically
Mm-hmm. But generally, a lot of people want to come and want to record.
Yeah.
It's actually even difficult to find the time for everybody.
Yeah, generally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this, yeah, they're all kind of with time looking
it,
for
it
that.
Was more intense. Mm. With time, it was really more intense. Yeah, because after the studio session, we used to organize concerts, and people was like more aware there's a studio in prison.
Mm.
So now the competition was more and more high. People want to attend the studio,
yeah.
You know. And when you have those concerts, it's an opportunity for those artists to make money too. Because, yeah, we have this tradition in Africa where they call it Atalaku. So I can sing your name.
Mm.
I can sing about Johnny. I can freestyle about her. And she, if she's really happy, usually like you motivate me with money. Yeah, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you have these concerts and people are in there, and then other people like give them a bit of money to like cheer them on, kind of.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And the concerts are taking place in prison.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
But then I can see that then like everyone wants to like get involved then.
Get involved or look cool because people turning famous in prison too. Like it's like it's a particular world and situation where. By season, like outside, this artist is trending now.
Yeah.
After six months, it's another one. So it's a really competition, like a music industry, you know?
Yeah. That's so fun. Yeah, it must be quite surreal actually to be in prison, but also realize that you're like quite famous outside of prison and like have that experience as well. And Dionne, during the early days, do you have like a particular memory or anecdote that you think about a lot or like that really defines that first period?
I think like even before we had the studio, when the guys were like doing the rehearsals in the Death Sentence quarter, that's where we were doing the rehearsals at the start before we actually had our own space.
Okay.
And they did it there because there was some space in such a saturated prison. And they were just very, very intense sessions where they were just like freestyle and freestyle and freestyle. Mm. And then there were a lot of discussions, you know. There was a lot of aggression at the start, you know, like people would like get angry all of the time, one with the other, and like the freestyle would stop. And then there was like, but it was really interesting how over time kind of they managed to start to work together. And that kind of communication problem really diminished. And then also there was once where there was like no electricity, and they just did the freestyles by banging on the wall, and one of them, Dusty Law, was like beatboxing and the others were banging on wood and stuff, and they just like went on and on and on like that, and it was just like wow,
yeah,
so amazing and resourceful.
Yeah. That's really interesting also to hear that, like, do you think it was through freestyling that people were able to, like, kind of communicate better or that kind of thing? Was it, like, the idea of, like, channeling the creativity, it kind of helped?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think in general, like, it helps channel a lot of emotions that might be difficult for people to express or to channel within themselves. So already I think it's a big output. Art in general, but I'm not a musician, but I can imagine music even more so because it's really kind of something that kind of comes out of your body.
They release a lot.
And a lot of violent emotions that people can feel, especially when they're under pressure, like incarcerated.
Yeah.
You know, if they come out through nonviolent communication, it will help also, you know, diminish aggressive behavior. I think there's a lot of benefits that come out of that release as well.
Hi, it's Georgia. I hope you're enjoying this episode. If you are enjoying it, I'm just going to ask you now to please follow us wherever you listen, rate us, and maybe share it with friends and family, because only with your help can these really important stories be heard. Thanks, and let's get back to the episode. And is there any like risks to the work? I mean, like, obviously it's quite an intense situation? Are there any times where it gets like a bit like scary or like risky in that sense? Or is that just like kind of more like stereotypes of what people might think of like a prison, do you think?
Nah. Honestly, for myself, prison is a tough place.
Yeah.
So people threaten a lot.
Yeah.
And particularly in Cameroon, we are well known to be like bullies and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we always act tough.
Yeah.
And people light up really easily and quick,
you know.
But I mean, I think more, not the guys we're around and that work with us, tendentially, you know, they can behave.
They behave, but you can
be next to a group. Sometimes, like, we're shooting a video clip and a fight just breaks out kind of 1 meter away from you and you have to, like, back off really quickly.
Okay.
Especially to save the camera.
Well, that must be really challenging. And I guess also, like, you have, if it's so... like if there are so many people in a very small space, naturally you would also like be on edge or like quite agitated in any case. And then you couple that with like, yeah, a lot of people who've been through difficult situations. So yeah, that must be really challenging. You mentioned that you have done like your filming there, and obviously you've made some like incredible music videos while within the prison. How do you go about like creating a music video within the prison?
So I think usually we, you know, there might be some song that we really like and we think, you know, it has potential and, you know, the artist is really kind of very disciplined, like he really wants to make it and is very serious about his work. And then I just listen a lot to the track and try to have, you know, just let the imagination go. There's not much you can do inside the prison because like the spaces are really limited and so basically you just have people and their bodies and the energy. That's what you have to work with, because the place is always the same places. So sometimes some of the videos are really freestyle. Other times maybe there's been an inspiration behind them. We use a lot of dance because there's a lot of dances and there's a lot of music that's kind of very danceable as well. And that's what they're good at and they can do easily. And it expresses a lot as well.
Yeah. And the one I saw, and like, I apologize if I say it wrong, but Sangando.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
That is obviously like very visually, it's an incredible video. Could you tell us a little bit about like what's behind that and the kind of like the visual iconography of it, like this?
I mean, that one, I kept thinking about these images because there's no color inside the prison. It's just like the gray walls and most of the people have, the clothes are not very colorful as well. So it's all on like tones of gray mostly. So it was a very visual idea. It was really, I was just thinking of the contrast of red on gray. Yeah. And I knew I wanted to paint people red because just of that visual. And I didn't know what the song was.
Yeah. But actually, that's true. That's the real story. She told me, I have this idea. I want to do a video where people are all in red, bring more color to prison. And she said, like, I want this particular sound, like, just create something. She started explaining, and that's how we made the song.
Wow.
Yeah.
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 And, and then the group we worked with, I say group, it's actually an artist, Impero, but he's part of a group. Like, let's say they call themselves a gang inside prison.
Yeah.
Mm. And so him and his boys are really kind of very excited as people, very full of energy.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it just worked with them. We kind of painted them and we were like doing their body painting. We were like, just with like gouache we bought in like the store on the road.
Shout out to Quata Latinos.
Yeah.
Themselves Latinos.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then there was a simple idea of a choreography, just like by twitching the head, because it kind of went with the electronic beat.
Yeah.
And then there was a lot of freestyling and guys doing grimace, they call it.
Yeah, they call it grimace.
Grimace.
Acting fun, like goofy
kind of mimes.
Clown.
Clownish. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's actually a work in prison. Like, they manage to have a lot of money like that.
Really?
A bit of money. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. Being funny. Like, that people, they are fun to be around. And, you know.
Yeah.
You can imagine in prison, like, it's a really sad place.
Yeah.
And you just make people laugh. They are really happy and
they
just want to be around you.
They give you a bit of money.
Only little money.
A
plate
of food.
Oh.
Yeah.
That is very clever. Making money. Wow, that is amazing. And another video that I really liked was by, and again, I don't know if I'm, is it Gigi or JJ?
Ah,
JJ.
JJ. Which is in the women's quarter of the prison. Can you tell me a bit about that video, but also about like the different challenges maybe that women are going through within the prison and like that experience?
Yeah, so the women's quarter is just on the side of the men's quarter, but obviously there's they're separate.
Yeah.
And it's much smaller, so it means that the conditions are actually better because there's less women as well.
Yeah.
But it's also very limited. They have very little activities. The men basically are very free, and inside the prison they're kind of, they have a lot of freedom.
Okay.
While for the women it's kind of, the space and the activities are really reduced. So we started working in the women's quarter, but it wasn't very easy because you need really special permissions to bring the women to the male sector.
Ah, so you brought her to
record.
The male.
Because
the recording studio is in the male sector.
Yeah. So actually at the moment they are really low on staff, so we can't have the guards to bring them.
Okay.
That's why at the moment we would like to create a studio inside the women's sector program inside the women's sector. But in that period, we every now and then we managed to get the permissions. So we started working with JJ and a couple of other artists. So Steve was, you know, working with them. And JJ's really talented.
Yeah.
She's Nigerian, but has been living
in Cameroon.
In Cameroon. For
it's a big community of Nigerian in Cameroon.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was just a super talented girl, and she did that beautiful song, Show Me the Way.
Yeah.
That's talking a little bit about her, you know, having lost the, not having had the people in life to show her the correct way,
because
she was sent as a child to live with her uncle in Douala, but you know she really missed having her parents, I guess.
And
so that song is really personal.
Yeah,
it's an amazing song. And what was it like working with her and working with like women, like having them come into the studio like that? Was it what was the experience like?
It was exciting and different. At that time, I was already released of prison. So it was a big motivation for me because they don't have the same opportunity as the men, since the recording studio is is on the male section.
Inside,
inside. So I was going like, what, 2 times per week, having authorization. It was not really difficult to have the authorization to bring them there, but it was about more having the guards availability.
Yeah,
that was the difficulty. And but even without the studio, I was there, like working with JJ all the time and the others girl. Bringing like a speaker, Bluetooth speaker, playing music. She was writing. We was testing idea before even going to the recording studio. So it was quite tough to see a woman like in prison too. It was quite tough to see. We started working more and more with the woman, but luckily the prison administration they're really taking it seriously.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
So they provide a lot of stuff, the minimum, yeah.
Yeah.
What a woman needs.
Mm, that's
but
really
see,
good.
In particular, see women beyond body stuff.
Yeah.
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 Can imagine it's something maybe slightly different.
Yes, like a lot different.
And you know, both have, like Jail Time Records has a studio outside of prison as well, right? Could you tell me a bit about that and maybe about the challenges of like coming out of prison for like formerly incarcerated people and what you know, like how the importance of having like a space where they can continue to like channel their work and their music.
Yeah, the importance to have the space is to keep the dream alive.
Yeah.
They know like they still have the support. Now they are out of the prison because it's not easy. The society, you already have these tags like you're a ex-convict or you're a convict. That means like you are not a good person.
Yeah.
They always feel rejected.
Yeah.
And when they feel rejected, they now is the... is them against the society. So with the studio we have outside, we continue the mission and they still believe in like they can have this facility of going and recording your music for free and having access to that is a lot because outside nothing is given for free.
Yeah.
And they just realize, it's sad to say it, but how luckily, like having a free studio in prison, you better capitalize your time too at the same time because outside nothing is free.
Yeah.
You have your bills to pay, you have everything to pay. And when they go to the recording studio outside, they continue doing music. And what do you think about it? I get just less. Yeah, but the reality outside, we continue the program.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For those who want, I propose this education program about sound engineering, music production.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I'm just proud of one of them now. He's still in kind of my job. He's getting better and better. Yeah, he's the one running the studio now.
Okay.
Yeah,
nice.
Outside the outside studio, he's the one running the studio. And no matter, he's keeping all the money for himself. I still have to pay the rent.
Yeah, because he gets other clients. He's that are not our artists.
Okay. Yeah.
But he never wants to help us with the rent.
He's not, he never share like the money he's supposed to share, but it's beautiful at the same time. You know, like seeing how he managed now, like to have a life. He's a sound engineer now.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so cool. And I saw another video, music video. And let me see if I get his name right. Musingi. Musingi? Am I saying it wrong?
Yes. Right.
Musingi is what you saw? Sacrifice?
Sacrifice, yeah.
Mm.
What's the about?
Wow, his story is really a big sacrifice.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was actually going to say.
Yeah, his story is really, really a big sacrifice.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Musingi is one of the guy we are really proud of. Basically, it's the story of a guy, of a young guy who grew up basically in jail, in and out since he was 16 of like a teenage. And now he's on his 30s, late 30s. And since he joined the program, it been 5 years, he never went back to jail.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, since he joined the program, he stick to the program because he was a robber before that. So Musingi really knows corporate trick, how to get fast money.
Yeah.
So it's a big sacrifice for him. To re-abandon this past life and choosing the right road.
Yeah, and he like works in the street as a vendor
in the market.
So he's got a very humble job, but you know, really keeps working on his music. And not only what's beautiful about him is that he is really invested in kind of sensible, how do you say it, like bringing awareness to the youth,
to the youth.
In his quarter, yeah, about the dangers of like street life. So he's really kind of acting as a big brother that's kind of you know, giving away the knowledge he's collected along with all the mistakes he's made in life to kind of try and guide young people.
That's amazing. Yeah, his story is really, mm-mm, really crazy. And I think I watched also on your YouTube that you did a like a kind of behind the scenes where he shared his story in full, which is also really nice. And I'll link these all in the episodes when we publish it. Yeah, it's just like he's been through so much, and it's just amazing to hear that he's doing so well. And obviously the music, the song and the music video really speaks to that. What was it like making that music video outside and like in on the streets and stuff? What was that experience like?
Yeah, actually that is just a free, it's a one shot. So yeah, it was just a really kind of, we didn't know it would be a music video clip. And so we were in the market where he works.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had a little Bluetooth speaker. So we were like, why don't you just, you know, interpret your song?
Yeah.
And, yeah, and then we had a graphic designer that helped us out putting the lyrics.
Yeah.
He really did a lot of job because there's a lot of lyrics and he had to kind of read them. So shout out to Steve. He's called Steve as well. Yeah. yeah, so that was very simple. There's other video clips we shoot even outside, like the last one we did before Musingi, Onguya was like a lot of, you know, it was written and staged, and there's a part at the beginning that's acted, and then there's dances. So it was a lot more convoluted. But yeah, we tried to do different styles also, you know. One-shot videos are a lot easier.
Yeah, it looks great though. It's like a very impressive video.
Great.
That's amazing.
Yeah, the energy is there.
Yeah, it is.
The presence of Musingi.
Yeah.
It
really
has a lot of presence.
Definitely. A lot of presence. And like, how has it been, like, what's the reception to Jail Time Records been like, both in Cameroon but also internationally? Because you're obviously, like, you're pretty big now, and I see like people writing about you a lot and getting a lot of attention. Like, what has that been like? Both, yeah, how has it been within Cameroon, but also internationally?
What do you think, Yo?
What do I think? I think, well, no, so there's been a lot of, like international attention and in the media and, you know, a lot of interest and people really resonating with the project. It's been really beautiful, like internationally, and people getting in contact with us, even just because like they want to help.
Yeah.
You know, they volunteer maybe to help out like a few hours. That's really great because it means, you know, that people can connect to it anywhere. Mm. And in Cameroon, I feel at the start, it was less easy, and instead in the last few years, you know, people have starting, especially young people and people in the that love culture and music, have really started to respond as well. You know, sometimes even just because they've seen maybe an international magazine talking about the project, and they're like, wow, you know, that in Rolling Stone still hasn't written anything about like a Cameroonian pop star, but they've written about the guys in prison, you know. And that's really important because actually our mission isn't only to work on the guys and girls that have gone through prison or that are going through prison, but it is also to try and change society's perception and the taboo that surrounds incarceration. And that really works, you know, because if there's a public and a local public and people can appreciate the work that, you know, our artists are doing and can see the value of people beyond the past or beyond the, like, criminal record, it means it's really working in terms of that.
Yeah. I think it's so important because I think, like everywhere, even like in the UK as well, there's just so much stereotyping about like what it means if you've been in prison. And also I feel like people are less sensitive to the idea that people, like everyone deserves a second chance, you know what I mean? And I think by doing what you're doing, it really just, again, it's the role of art and the role of music as a way of telling someone's story in such a powerful and effective way so that it actually reaches people in ways that, yeah, other formats may not. So, yeah, what you're doing is incredible.
Yeah, and since last year, we started, we had a concert with the artists outside.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Really successful concert. Now they are feeling themselves,
That's amazing.
Yeah.
The public come and watch
them. Yeah, it was sold out.
Wow.
They're outside, like with the formerly incarcerated artists.
Yeah.
So we had one at the Griffith Institute in Yaoundé and one at the French Institute in Douala.
Nice.
Yeah, and we're also working on having them come and perform in other countries, both in Africa and also in Europe.
We should have one in London.
Yeah.
That would be so cool. That's amazing. Yeah. And how was it received for the audience loving it?
Yeah, it was massive.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was enjoying myself. It was really massive. I was surprised. I was really proud of the guy.
Mm.
Yeah, they are really amazing. Not just because they are part of J-Time, but that's the reality.
Yeah.
They have a lot of talent and especially life. They're really good.
Yeah.
That's
amazing.
They're really good.
Yeah.
They're really good. So we are all excited to go on tour and like to walk more, to go on tour.
That's so impressive. And I think it's true that like the people you work with are just really, really talented. Like when you watch it, that it's just, it's really incredible. So it's just great to hear that they're also having this big audience and being inspired to continue. It's really impressive. And what's the plan for Jail Time Records? Obviously, you've got two studios now, inside and outside, but are you also opening up another one? Is that what you would like to do? Do you want to have many around the world?
Yeah, the mission is to expand it.
We
already start in Burkina Faso.
Okay.
We have one in Burkina Faso in Ouagadougou and prison. We started this new project too. It's not all about building recording studio inside prison, because the reality, no one is born in prison.
Yeah.
Yeah, we started this new program, a prevention program.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with the youth.
Mm.
Yeah, where we have this mobile recording studio.
Wow.
And we are going the ghettos in crowded places like markets.
Mm.
We started blasting music and people started gathering.
Yeah.
It's like scouting talent.
Yeah.
Then we have this session of freestyle in the street. Then we bring them back in a proper recording studio.
Mm.
We can write a song, a proper song, record them.
Wow.
And we propose these courses of music production, sound engineering.
That's amazing.
This is our new baby.
That's incredible. And you started it already?
Yeah, we started already.
Wow.
And we're going to have a series of podcasts with this new project, Stretch from the Street.
That's amazing. And so you start these and people, young people just come up and start freestyling.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah, because in Cameroon, we have this huge problem of drugs.
Yeah.
Drugs addiction.
Mm.
Yeah, kids starting like popping pills.
Yeah.
And stabbing people in the street.
Mm.
They are really aggressive.
Yeah.
And because the reality, as JJ's song, like, nobody show me the way.
Yeah.
The brother figure they have, the big brother's figure they have, is like drug dealers.
Yeah.
In those kind of ghettos, all they have is big brothers who are selling drug dealers.
Yeah.
AI creams. So the reality, we're trying to show them another way.
Yeah.
Like they can feel themselves. We are boosting the self-esteem.
Mm.
Like we are doing with other guys.
Yeah. That's incredible. And I think all it really, like, it makes such a difference when you have someone just like believing in what you can do and giving you the opportunity and the platform to like, just channel, like use your voice. And it's just incredible. That's so cool. Well, I really hope the best of it. And yeah, just thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. It's been such a pleasure meeting you both, but also having this conversation. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
And for the listeners or viewers, you can find out more about their work in the episode description as well. And thank you for listening.